Shifted around this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. So good to see y'all. You know, God's great, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Amen. Always.
So let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord and just lift him up, just praise him this morning. I really, really believe in my heart that we serve the same God today as we did yesterday, amen, as we did in the past, as the saints of old that prayed for us, and even those in the Old Testament, even to the future. And I believe if we continue to come to him in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, just lifting him up, just praising him, just being aware who God is in our life. I think that's something that, as we talked about this morning, about the prophecies and the prophets of old, and knowing what's going on in the world today, and knowing the situations that we're in, that we'll be obedient to the Word of God and follow him. So I'm going to ask y'all, if you will, if the Lord's ever touched you, if he's ever just lifted, just done anything in your life or situation, let's just give him a hand wave of praise.
Hallelujah.
And just honor
praise
him,
God.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I know there are those
thank
that are sick, those that are shut in.
Praise your name.
Lord, I heard a prayer request for Brother Chu with his back this morning, for all those texts that are going out, those others that are sick. We've got some that are getting over the stuff going around, and we just thank God for that. But there are those that are struggling right now. And I just want us to lift each and every one up, whether they're traveling for business, work, or not able to be here for a sickness or on quarantine, whatever the reason is. But if you have a prayer request this morning to go along with those praises, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and show if you have a spoken or unspoken prayer request. And we're going to be in one mind and one accord as we lift God up, and we know he's a God that can.
Amen.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we just thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, thank you for always being there for us, dear Lord, always being present, dear Lord. May we just be obedient to you and, dear Lord, and receive you and your word, dear Lord. We just trust in you. Lord, may we just really understand that who you are and what you are and everything that you are, the great I am, the creator of all, the Alpha, the Omega, dear Lord. We just praise your holy name. Lord, as we come together this morning, dear Lord, we're just praying for all the empty seats, those that aren't able to be with us this morning for whatever reason, and you know each and every situation. Dear Lord, you see those hands that were raised this morning, dear Lord, as a prayer request. And dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord. You hear our cries. You see those needs. And, dear Lord, with faith, we're placing them into your hands and asking you to touch each and every situation. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, we thank you for this week of celebration, this revival time. Dear Lord, may we completely, dear Lord, continue in the direction that you would have us to go. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Each and every ministry that comes forth out of this church, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just bless and multiply. We just praise you, Lord. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The choir doesn't know yet. Miss Penny doesn't know. But I mentioned to Miss Jennifer, I just want to worship the Lord this morning, open up our service my heart is. And we're going to sing Standing on Holy Ground. They're going to put it up on the screen, but instead of it just being the praise team or just a few that sing, I want us all just to worship God this morning and just sing this with us this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Still be fine.
If you
God, continue to worship the Lord as we, I know He's at work. I just love it that you can call on Him no matter when, and He's always there. Praise God, He hears our cries. He hears the cries of His children. Thank you, Lord. We just love You. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's give the Lord another hand clap. Hallelujah. I just appreciate the way the Lord ministers to each and every one of us. We're going to go ahead and continue with our service this morning. Just keep worshiping if that's what God's laying on your heart right this minute. We're going to go ahead and get a little business out of the way. We're going to take up our morning offering. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't have any announcements. Do y'all have anything pending that I need to know about? Ma'am? Choir practice at 5. Wonderful. Choir practice this afternoon. I love it. But when we come in, they're already worked up and just praising the Lord. And just a wonderful time in the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please?
Disease. And anyway, we had to go through a lot of stuff with that. He had to have a port put in so they could pull blood from him. He was supposed to have phlebotomy every other week. Phlebotomy is where they take some of your blood off because he's making too much blood. And so they tell us every 2 weeks to start with that he would have to have this. Well, he finally got a port in that works April the 30th. He's had two phlebotomies. Thank you. That's May, June, July, August. This is 4 months. He was supposed to have one every 2 weeks. He's had two.
Praise God.
The doctor, to start with, said, "This is crazy. I've never had a patient that this has happened to before." They usually have, he has some patients that has to have phlebotomy 3 times a week. Kevin's had two.
Praise God.
Y'all get that?
Praise God.
So now, he told us we had to take him back for a checkup this week. And he told us that there is a chemo pill that might help with the condition that he has. And if it does, then we can take the port out. Now, the port is, I have to sterilize everything and change everything once a week, and because it's very susceptible to infection, the kind that he has. So we might be able to get that port out.
Praise God.
You know, he still may have the condition, which is a very rare condition. He still may have that. But God is working.
Yes, amen.
And I've got to say amen. Because he may end up, he has cerebral palsy. He has a lot of issues, but he's still here.
Yes, amen.
And that's only by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
They told us he would live to be 6 years old at the most. He's 43. 43. Y'all need to understand that. God is amazing. And, you know, sometimes I may not trust him, but he does it anyway.
Come on, amen.
He does so much for us every day. When you think about how much he's already done for you just since you got up this morning.
Come on, amen.
He is so amazing, and I love him so much. I thank him for everything he's done for me.
Praise
and
God.
I thank him for what he's going to do for me and what he's going to do for y'all.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed. As we recall what God has done and how we've seen him move.
If there's anybody here who's found him faithful, anybody here who knows he's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen his power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and seen it time and time again, just say amen.
Through the darkness, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where he leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord.
If there's anybody here who's found him faithful, anybody here who knows he's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen his power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and sing it time and time again, just found him faithful. Anybody here who knows he's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen his power, anybody here brought through the fire, just say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and seeing it time and time again, just say amen. Just say
become his righteousness. He humbled himself, yes he did, and he carried the cross. His love so amazing, oh his love is so amazing. Yes, oh Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed the bread, his blood the wine, he's broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Oh, his love is so amazing. His love is so amazing. Yeah, oh, Jesus Messiah. Oh, he's the name above all names. He's my blessed redeemer.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed sinners, he's the ransom from heaven. Oh, Jesus Messiah, he's the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus Messiah, he's the name above all names, he's my blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. He's the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Lord of all. How many believe that this morning? Praise God, praise God. He is Lord of all. Amen. Thank God he lives inside us. Amen. How many is thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in these vessels? Don't know what we'd do if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. Couldn't make it. But thank God he is with us, and he promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. If you have your Bibles this morning, and thank you for coming this morning. Amen. We appreciate you being here. Hope that you came to worship the Lord. In the book of Judges this morning, we want to focus our attention on chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 11. Amen. Would you say with me, thank God for revival? How many was blessed by the revival? How many knows revival's not over? How many knows revival's just beginning? Not just in our church, revival's beginning in the land. There is something happening. I said, there is something happening in the land. God's going to get attention. When you see all these things begin to come to pass, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. I believe our redemption is near at hand. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus says, come ye up. Amen. And be with him forever and ever. From the book of Judges this morning, chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 11. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Asborite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Say that with me this morning. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your anointed presence. Father, we ask you humbly this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. God, to anoint this vessel. God, that we might hear from heaven. God, that you might speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for those who have gathered here today, God, to worship and adore and praise you. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just rain down that heavenly manna right now. God, upon each and every one of us here today. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted. But Father, we know that you're greater than any problem or any sickness. We pray, God, that you would minister healing on behalf of those who are in need of prayer this morning. God, again, we just ask you to have your way and your will in this service, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, The Lord Is With You. The Lord is with you. How many knows that even when people or organizations or governments or even some of our closest friends, sometimes they're nowhere to be found, the Lord is still with us. He promises us that we won't face anything alone. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Somebody ought to give my hand clap of praise because we don't face anything alone. He didn't say we wouldn't face anything. He just said we won't face it alone. And for that, I am eternally grateful that the Lord is with us. If you haven't realized it by now, this is the beginning of the story of Gideon. And can I tell you what has taken place? The children of Israel, beginning in the first verse of the sixth chapter, says that they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. I want to remind us this morning, I want to remind our nation, I want to remind each and every one of us under the sound of my voice or wherever you may be today, God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what you're doing. He doesn't miss a thing. He sees everything. But there comes a time when even God says, that's enough. The children of Israel continually had done evil in the sight of God. They would repent and God would forgive them. I mean, he's thankful for the forgiveness of the Lord. And they would again turn unto the Lord. Here we find that in the beginning of this chapter, they've done evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now the Midianites had overrun the country. In a couple of places it said they were like grasshoppers for multitude. In fact, they covered the land along with the Amalekites. But mainly it was the Midianites. And the Bible says that they had devoured or destroyed all of the sustenance that belonged to the children of Israel. It consumed not only the wheat fields and the grapevines and all that there was produced there, but the Bible says they had also taken all of their livestock. And the children of Israel who were in the promised land, which was, by the way, promised to them by God. You remember how the children of Israel crossed Jordan. They were now entered into that land of Canaan, the Canaan land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, because they turned their back on God, the enemy is coming in and prevailing. The Bible explains to us that the children of Israel forsook their homes, their gardens, their vineyards. Now they were hiding and seeking shelter in caves and strongholds in the mountains, cowarding away as the enemy began to take inch by inch everything that God had promised Israel. Can I tell you to stand firm today? Do not ever give place to the devil. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost within you to rebuke him and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not give up what God has done for me. I will not give up on the promise that he has given us. And I know for a fact, there's people under the sound of my voice today that God has promised you things that maybe have not been fulfilled yet, but I want to tell you to hold on to God's promise. So we find that the people of Israel were hiding in caves, and Gideon is threshing the wheat in a wine press. Think about that. The Bible history tells me that normally when the wheat was gathered, they would find a hard surface.
most notably in an open area, because a lot of wheat was gathered or harvested at one time. And more times than not, it was several people. Maybe the entire family or the community would get together, and they would seek out a place where there was a firm foundation, a rock, a hard place that had been swept clean, and they would begin to thresh the wheat to get the seed of the wheat so that they could make their bread and their flour. That's the purpose of it. But this was not the case with Gideon. I mean, you know, sometimes we have to find a place, amen, of security. We have to find a place where the enemy can't get to. I find it at an altar. And I thank God that I can find my altar anywhere I get in touch with God. I don't have to kneel in the church house. I don't have to come into the chapel. Thank God it's a wonderful place. But I got news for you. Sometimes Satan comes and tries to give me problems when I'm not in church, when I'm not with my saints of God. But I thank God that I've got a place. I've got a place that the devil has no right to come to. And I can begin to pour out my heart to God and put my faith and trust in a never-failing God. Now, Gideon was aware of what was going on. Later on, we find out he's perfectly aware. But he's trying to thresh this wheat, and his intentions are to hide it from the enemy. That's what he's doing. And he's doing it in a wine press. And what's so significant about a wine press? Wine press was usually a hollowed-out bowl or a container. And it had a valve in it, a hole, and that's where the grapes were put. And you know, they would mash and beat the grapes until the juice ran out in which they contained it. Now, many times in the Bible, in fact, even in Isaiah, the grapes being beaten is a type and shadow of the Spirit of God as He chastises our flesh to produce that is pleasing unto Him. Can I get a nod of a head if God has ever put you in a position where we had to be pressed down? Come on. If we had to be sort of chastised so that goodness could come out of us. Amen. Let me tell you, if you've never been there, you need to get there. Because what He does, He mashes out my will. He mashes out all of those things that come against me. And praise God, after the after effect, the finished product is righteousness unto the Lord. But for this purpose, Gideon chose it to thresh the wheat. I almost think that he was doing it in concealment. Maybe hiding from the enemy, because his intentions were to hide the wheat or the flour, the beaten seeds from the enemy, because they were coming in, the Bible says, and just consuming everything that the children of Israel had worked so tirelessly for. It was almost like a plague of human locusts, if you will, as they came in and began to devour the land. So we find that Gideon is here and he's doing his best for himself and for his family and providing for them. And while he's threshing, I said, while he's preparing, while he's seeking something that will sustain him and his family, in the face of adversity, the enemies are on the heels of his very land. He goes on to tell us later that he doesn't even consider himself worthy, that he thinks himself the least of his family, but there he is threshing wheat in the face of the enemy, saying, you know what, I'm not going to give up. I know it's bad around me. I know the news is not good, but I'm never going to give up. I'm not going to quit. If I'm the last one that stands for God, I'm going to keep working for the Lord. Give me that mindset today. And the revival will continue. Man. And as he's threshing wheat, has a visitor. Ooh, glory. Have you ever been on your knees to an almighty God praying and telling God what you're going through, what the situation is, how bad it is, and all of a sudden you thought you were by yourself, you thought there was nobody else around, but praise God, you got a visitor. The Spirit of God came down and surrounded you. The Bible says that an angel came. Man, the angel appears to him there and he tells him, the Lord is with thee. Amen. You would think that a Holy Ghost filled person would never, ever, under any circumstances, have to be reminded that the Lord is with you. God said, remind them anyway. God spoke to me and said, I want to remind First Pentecostal Church. I want to remind you, Stain of God. I want to remind you, each and every one of you, that the Lord is with thee. And when the Lord is with thee, that's all that I need, because he is my provision. He is my salvation. He is my redeemer. He is the lifter up of my head. And thank God, even in adversity, he is my protector. And the angel addresses him as thou mighty man of valor. Early in my days, I thought that meant that Gideon was a fine specimen of a human being. Almost like the Atlas you see, the Charles Atlas, and the big bulked up person that you might think would be a great leader. Kind of like Samuel was when he saw the three older brothers of David. Each and every one of them was a mighty man. But no, the angel didn't say, thou mighty man of strength. He didn't say, thou mighty man of power. This needs to touch somebody. He said, thou mighty man of valor. He could have just easily said, thou mighty man of courage. I need somebody today that's got courage, regardless of your talent, regardless of the length of time that you serve the Lord, regardless of your knowledge to the Word of God. I believe God needs somebody with courage today to stand up and say, you know what? The Lord is with me. I have a mighty God that can protect me. The Lord is with me through every situation and adversity. Thou mighty man of valor. And then Gideon replies with an if. And I don't know why it is, folks. We've seen miracles. Is there anybody, let me just do it this way. Is anybody in the house who's ever seen a miracle? Has anybody in the house ever received a miracle? We know that we serve a miracle performing God, as Sister Penny testified. Even it amazes doctors. And it transcends over our innate ability to understand the miracles of God. But we've witnessed them. And we've seen them. But this mighty man of courage, this mighty man of valor, whom God handpicks and chose, one of the first words out of his mouth, if God is with us, then the next word is why. Come on now. God reminded me that we got a lot of Gideons. Be mad. But you know what? God can use Gideons. But the human part is, if God is with us, then why has all of this befallen us? Why is he allowing the enemy to come in and trample on our promise from God? when it's answered in the very first verse. Israel did evil in the sight of God. You may be living a holy and righteous life and walking in all the knowledge that the Word of God teaches us, but we're living in an evil land. He said, we're abiding in evilness. Not, you don't have to be a part of it, but my Lord, it's hard to get out from it. There's evil seemingly surrounding us. And in my spiritual mind, I look back in the day of Gideon, and I saw all of the Midianites and the Amalekites just slowly creeping up, engulfing the land, as I said earlier, almost like a plague of human locusts. Not caring. I imagine they were just not only destroying the land, but tearing it up and not caring anything about people's buildings that were built up. Just tearing it all apart. Can I tell you today, there is a presence of an evil tearing families up, tearing individuals up, tearing churches up, tearing relationships up. But I got news for you. The Lord is with you. Do you believe that? Give Him praise this morning. The Lord is with you. Then why? Why is this happening? And then God speaks through the angel. Some believe that it was the Spirit of God inside the angel anyway. Other scholars thought this might have been a precedent to the Holy Spirit that came through us by the way of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever your theology is, the angel was speaking at times, and then it was almost like he was talking directly to God. How many knows that God still speaks through people today? Have you ever heard a word that just knew, even though it came from a messenger, you knew it came from God? Put your hands together and thank God that He cares enough. He cares enough to give us a message. And then the voice of God speaks through the angel. He said, go in this thy might. What was his might? His courage. His valor. I will supply the power. I will supply the strength, thus saith God. All I need is your courage. Oh God, speak to us today. We may not be the brightest. We may not be the strongest. But God, give us courage in the face of adversity. Give us courage. We know where our strength comes from. We know where our healing comes from. We know where our deliverance comes from. Give me some Gideons. They'll say, I will go forth in courage. Amen. Being mighty men of valor so God can get glory. He said, go in your might. Go in your courage that you've been blessed with. Then he asked him a question. Have not I sent thee? Come on. If God tells you to do it, you need to do it. Amen. If God tells you to be a spiritual Gideon today, then you need to be submissive and obedient. So the voice of God says, have I not sent thee? Then the if followed by the why is now followed by excuses. Before we throw Gideon under the bus, let's remember how procrastinating we are when God speaks to our hearts. First of all, is that you, Lord? You want me to do what? So after the if, followed by the why, now comes the excuses. Talks about his family. One of the poorest families in the neighborhood. Goes on to tell us that his father Joash was of the tribe of Abizrat, which was one of the smallest tribes of Israel. Can I tell you, God don't need a great big crowd to work? He just needs some people with valor. He needs some spiritual Gideons. But Gideon said, no, I'm from a poor family. And not only am I from a poor family, meaning a small, and we don't have very much, but I'm the very least of the family. Now, no, we've never told God, Lord, you just need to get somebody else. Let's be real, God. I can't do it. have the ability. I don't have the talent. I don't have the time. We got to understand. God doesn't say, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to so-and-so. No, he knows exactly who he's speaking to. He knew exactly who to send the angel to. So Gideon begins to offer these excuses, and then it's followed by, well, I'm going to need some kind of sign. I'm a believer, Lord, but you just got to give me a sign. And in Gideon's case, it turned out one sign wasn't enough. And then he speaks to the angel. Now Gideon is starting to feel the Spirit of God. Let me bring to your remembrance. When you start to feel the Spirit of God and the anointing, you want to do something. And Holy Ghost people, we don't know whether to scream or run or shout or all. We just want to do something when we feel the presence of God. Can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony? Some cry, some run, some shout, some raise their hands. But whatever it is, we got to move or we got to do something when we feel the presence of God. Gideon says, you wait right here. Angel, don't you move. You stay right here and I'll be right back. He goes to his father's house and he grabs a kid, a baby goat, and he begins to prepare an offering, a meat offering for the angel. And he bakes some unleavened bread. Didn't have any yeast, but just some unleavened bread. And he takes the broth and he comes back to the angel. And he's so thankful because the angel's still there. I said, the angel's still there. Glory to God. Somebody needs to know today the Spirit of the Lord is still there. Listen, the angel didn't walk away. Gideon did. Gideon said, don't you go nowhere. You stay right here. I'm going to go back and I feel so good. I just got to do something. I'm gonna bring you something back in the form of an offering. And Gideon's so thankful when he comes back. He has the meat in the basket. He has the unleavened bread. And he has the little pot of sauce or broth that's with it. And he comes. And the angel there is sitting on a rock. And right beside the rock, Gideon runs up. And he's so excited. He's so thankful to be able to give something to this angel that has given him this good news. To let him know that God is still with me. I said, God is still with me. Listen, the land is being consumed. His brothers and sisters are hiding in the rocks and in the caves of the mountains. All of his flock is gone and the cattle is gone and all of his neighbors are running in fear. But God has sent an angel to tell me that God is still with me. But remember, he asked for a sign. And he places the meat there and the angel says, put it on the rock. Ooh, I saw that and I said, Lord, let me come to the rock with my burden, with my problems, with my fear, with my anxiety. I just want to put it on the rock. Ooh, I want you to get in a spiritual a connotation, a spiritual mindset with me right now. And the angel says, put it on the rock. So he lays the meat offering down that he had so meticulously provided and fixed for him, and he puts the unleavened bread there and he takes the little cup or bowl of broth and he sets it there and he pours the broth over the meat. It's on the rock. And you would think the angel would have got that wonderful just prepared sustenance and he would have partook of it. But the angel had a staff in his hand. And the angel touched that meat offering with the tip of the staff in his hand. And as soon as the tip of that staff touched that meat offering, fire came from the rock. I said, fire came from the rock. And it consumed every bit of And he looks, and the angel has disappeared. He said, the angel has disappeared. The angel was just a messenger. But the fire is still with you, Gideon. Come on. When you can't see the evidence of God in your life, and the messengers told you that Jesus or the Lord is with you, when you don't have a visual contact, you can't see him, but you know that there is fire that was left there. Amen. That consuming fire that burns in our heart, that gives us the power to let us know that God is with us. The angel disappeared. Then Gideon builds an altar there. An altar of thanksgiving and praise. But there's something in Gideon's house, in his family's house, that needs to be destroyed. I don't know what's in your life, but God does. There may not be anything. There may be something that you would not call a hindrance or an obstacle, or something that might cause you not to really surrender to God as he wants you to. But Gideon knew exactly what he had to do. See, his father Joash had succumbed to the political pressure that was in the land. He didn't want to do it. His heart wasn't really in it. But he had an altar to Baal on his property. Why? Because he didn't want the neighbors to get upset. Because most of the neighbors around them had already erected Baal's offering and an altar and the groves of Ashtaroth around them. And they were already serving other gods. Living in a promise of God, turning their back on Jehovah God and worshiping idols. And it plays out. We know Joash's heart wasn't in it because he protected his son from the neighbors after they come and found out. But he had allowed it. I don't believe it, but I'm going to accept it. Be careful. Bible doesn't bear it out, but you know what harm is it going to do? Let me tell you something, folks. Anything that becomes a distraction from our servitude unto God, you better beware of it. Amen. There comes a time in our life, if we really want the Lord to be with us, we got to start cleaning house. We got to start getting every hindrance, every obstacle out of the way and say, Lord, I want to be pleasing unto you. So now, Gideon's feeling a little better. He's just witnessed that fire came up from out of that rock. So he goes. But you know what? He's still a little bit shy because he said, we're going to do it at night so nobody will see. So he gets 10 of his little servants to go with him. And he tears down the altar of Baal on his dad's property. Probably knowing this might not set well with the family, especially the neighbors. But he does it anyway. And he tears down the groves. Under God's instruction, he takes the timber from the groves and the altar, and he builds another altar, and he kills his daddy's second oldest bull. You know what? I believe with all of my heart, if he'd have killed the oldest bull, it wouldn't have worked out. God told him expressly, kill the second oldest bull. Now, what does that have to do? I have no idea. But I do know this. If somebody comes teaching you anything other than what the Word of God, it's a bunch of bull. So he gets the second oldest bull. And he sacrifices it on an altar to Jehovah God. God. Let me tell you something. If you want your sacrifice to be accepted, if you want your sacrifice to be blessed, sacrifice it to Jehovah God, the one, the great I am, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. No other God beside him. Hallelujah. And lo and behold, the next day, who done this? They find out that it was Gideon. And this is how we know that Joash's heart was probably not in it, because he protected his son and talked the other into not trying to do any harm. But now we find Gideon headed to the battle. Amen. Wouldn't you too? If God had done all of that for you, wouldn't you roll your spiritual sleeves up and said, let's go. Let's go take back what Satan's got taken from us. Have we got any men of valor? Have we got any women of valor? Have we got anybody in First Pentecostal Church that's ready to step out on faith with courage? Amen. To know that the Lord is with you. Man. She goes and gets ready to do whatever God wants him to do. And by this time, he's gotten a visual contact of the army of the Midianites and the Amalekites. They're numerous. They're just covered the hills, just thick as everything. But he still feels that the Lord is with him. But you know what? Lord, I need another sign. I saw the fire. I saw what you did. You were with me when I tore down the enemy's camp and tore down the altar of Baal and all that. But Lord, you know what? I just took a look at the enemy and I need another sign that you're still there. He says, I tell you what, I got this fleece. And this is a story every little Sunday school student can tell you about. I got this fleece, Lord. And if you really want to use me to save Israel,
got that word if again,
then let the dew come tonight and let all the ground around this fleece be totally dry and the fleece be completely wet. And he feels pretty good about that, because this is my scapegoat, because I don't think that's going to really happen. Isn't it amazing that he's just seen this mighty miracle? Just been speaking to an angel of God, but yet he needs another sign. So the next morning he gets up and he goes out there, and as he's walking, he's kind of noticing, he's kind of kicking up dust. This is not right. There should be some dampness on this grass or something. And he gets over there to the fleece and probably looks at it and kind of touches it a little bit, and it's the southern vernacular that it's soaking wet. And just to drive the point home, it's not just a little bit of dew. He picks it up, and the Bible tells us, instructs us that he wrings out a bucket of water out of the fleece. Whew. Kind of like us. Woo, Lord. That's one of the greatest coincidences I've ever seen in my life. Isn't it amazing? Come on. The ground is completely dry and this thing is full of dew, full of wetness. Lord, I tell you what, you've almost convinced me. But I need one more miracle, one more sign to know. Because this is a big step, you know, Lord. I want to be certain. I want to be sure. Tell you what, Lord, tonight, when I put this fleece out, let it be completely dry and let there be dew all around the fleece. Next morning he gets up and he knows he's in trouble, because as he's walking toward the fleece, the ground is covered in dew and wetness. Surely there's a little bit of wetness on that fleece. Just give me just a little bit of dampness on that fleece, and I'll know for certainty, Lord, that it's not me you're talking to. But I believe he searched all over that fleece and couldn't find one drop of moisture, because God don't halfway do anything. So well, we find Gideon is thoroughly convinced. Finally, somebody say, finally. Finally, Lord, I'll search. serve you. Finally, Lord, I'll be the messenger. Finally, Lord, I'll be the instrument. You know, I'm afraid to ask you for one more sign. But you've convinced me finally. And I'm ready to step out on faith now. After he's done healed you, after he's done made a way for you, after he's opened doors for you, woo, Lord have mercy, I'm ready to have that faith now. So Gideon goes forth. Man. And he blows the trumpet. Amen. Now that you know that the Lord is with you, I need some people to blow the trumpet and sound a warning that the enemy is on the move. The enemy is beginning to devour and consume people and families and churches and relationships, as I said. But the Lord has instructed us, as he did Gideon, that the Lord is with you. Turn to somebody and point your finger and say, the Lord is with you. Make it personal. The Lord is with you. Amen. And if the Lord is with you, that means the Lord is with me. So he blows the trumpet, and here comes, finally, the mighty men, or the men who are ready to fight. Isn't it amazing? They were hiding in caves. They were in strongholds, just hiding from, but took one person. You think one person can't do much? Wait till that one person is anointed of God and begins to blow the trumpet as a warning. You'll find out if we have one starter, then some others will come and rally around. Come on, give me somebody who will say, I will stand up for God. Hallelujah. So he goes, blows the trumpet. Here comes the different tribes. God looks at all of those who came forth. And I would imagine Gideon's, whoo, buddy, he's feeling good. He got some help now. And God speaks to Gideon and says, ain't going to work, buddy. You got too many people. Yeah, Gideon's kind of like us. He said, do what, God? You got too many. You know how Israel is. You know how you people are. Come on, if you got too many, then you're going to say, look what we done. Look what we built. Look what we got. Look what we can do. But when you narrow the odds down and you take away the factor that said we are mighty and strong in our own ability and we didn't have to depend on God, then we know that God is not with us in that. So you should go and ask all the ones who are fearful and afraid, they can return home. He's probably expecting, you know, 200 or 300. 22,000 said, we'll see you later, buddy. We're out of here. You're gone. God looked, said, I'm going to have to do this myself, Gideon. Take him down to the water. I'll try him. Come on. Let me tell you something. God is a just God. And when he tries you, it is right. Come on, I said, when his voice goes forth in judgment, it is right. So you know the story. They go down and God speaks to Gideon. He said, all of those that lap the water like a dog, in other words, take the water and scoop it up and lap it, he said, those are the one that I'm going to take and we're going to be victorious. Well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that Gideon had a calculator. But I'm thinking to myself, how in the world are you going to pick out 300 men or those out of all those people that's drinking water at the same time? How many knows God, with God, all things are possible? God probably counted himself and said, here's the ones I want you to take. The ones that lapped the water. Why? Because their eyes were looking constantly around in case there was any problems. Amen. Come on. Give me an army that's always constantly looking. Amen, and making sure if anything ain't right, we're going to get it right under the power of God, under the power of the blood. So with these 300 men, God takes Gideon and he tells him, I have given you the Midianites. And you know what? We think, man, that's a small army. God even narrowed it down. He said, I want you and your servant to sneak down to the camp of the Midianites. Lord, what else you want out of me? But this time, he had already seen enough miracles from God. He said, okay, we'll do it. And to go down and to hear these Midianite messengers and these Midianite soldiers talking, one's telling another, I had a dream. I had a dream that there was a big cake of barley come rolling down into the camp, and it destroyed all of the camp. And I know that this was a sign of Gideon and the sword of God that is with Gideon. And there was already, God had already struck fear in the enemy. Somebody needs to hear that. Before God will send you into a place of danger, he has already struck fear into the enemy's heart. He took away their will to fight. And then he says, divide your men up. 300, 100, 100. Amen. You know what? The Bible doesn't say they had to kill anybody, had to shoot, throw a spear or shoot an arrow. He said they just took a pitcher and a trumpet. Oh, you mighty men and women of valor, grab you a pitcher and a trumpet and let's go on revival. Amen. Because God's going to slay the enemy. You know the story. They went down, they blew the trumpets, they cracked the pitchers and those torches lit, and the enemy thought, oh, my Lord, the whole army of Israel is around us. And they went stumbling over and running over and just left everything they had. And then you know what? The rest of the Israelites showed up then after revival. Hello. After the prayers were made, after the victories run, here come all the rest of the Israelites, and they chased them down, and they destroyed them and captured the two sons of the kings and slew them. I said all that to say this: God is with you. The Lord is with you this very hour. He's with you right now in whatever you're facing, in whatever problem is on the horizon. Don't ever forget that the Lord is with you. Would you stand? Please bow your heads in reverence to the Spirit of God. If God has let us know anything today through His Spirit and through this message, it's to not fear what's going on in the land today. I know it looks a little difficult. No, it looks a lot difficult. Just like it was when Gideon was there. It looked like he was all alone. It looked like just his family. But you know what? God can bring a mighty miracle just through one or two. Amen. And God just, I believe, is expressing a need today for some people of courage, some people of faith, to blow and sound the trumpet alarm. Amen. That you better get your heart right. You better get your life right. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your precious word. God, for the promise that you won't leave us nor forsake us. God, through every adversity, through every trial, through every persecution, you'll be right there with us. God, let us know assuredly today, each and every one under the sound of my voice that has repented and received your Spirit into their life, let them be acknowledging the fact that you live within them. God, I just want to reassure the congregation this morning. I want to remind them that the Lord is with them, with each and every one. And Father, if there be someone today that has felt your presence and that loves you but has never accepted you as Lord and Savior of their life, let this be the warning. Let this be the time that they come to that altar of fire and receive that anointing and receive that infilling to let them know assuredly that they'll never face a battle alone. Father, if there's one today, prick their hearts. Draw them to this altar in Jesus' name. Still every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's one that sees a need or has a need this morning, would you come to this altar? God is here in a wonderful way, in a mighty way. If you need prayer, please come forward. You elders, as people are coming, you fall out and come to pray with them. Let them know that we're here for them and we're going to pray with them for victory. Sister Kayla feels a need for the family to be prayed for. Don't know something they're facing, or they just need strength. They want to, in unity, join hands together and pray. So if you family would come up and stand with her and pray, God has got something special in store for you.
Let's give them a hand. I wish every family would unite and make in the strength and the power of the Lord. We can lean on one another as we lean on God first. Amen. Heavenly Father, y'all just join hands there and we're gonna make a circle. Thank you, God, y'all can do it. Heavenly Father, as we come on behalf of this wonderful family, God, I pray in your protection. I pray in your power. I pray in your direction, God, upon each and every family member. God, I pray that you would keep sickness away from them. God, I pray that you would give them strength, Lord. Give them faith to stand. God, give them a wonderful spiritual fellowship to love one another, to support one another. God, to work for you and to live for you. We pray your blessing and your anointing right now. Keep this family safe. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Savior. Glory to God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
How many believes in healing? Reach your hand this way. God's about to do it again. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. This one thing I do know, Jesus is the way. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I would just like to testify what Pastor was preaching about. When I couldn't come to the revival, but I was watching it online at work, and I could feel it was so powerful. And I could see individuals up here, and I could see Pastor praying over them. And I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? I didn't understand. And when I was back there, and God showed me, he said, bring your family up there and you get Pastor to pray over your family. I said, Lord, I don't know about that. I don't know if I should do that. And exactly what he started preaching about, I was like, you know, because we struggle to step out when God tells us to do something. And we struggle to do those things. And we're not in this alone. You know, we all go through the same things when we all struggle, but like, I thank God for Pastor for God using him in such a mighty way, and I thank you for that. But it was so awesome how, you know, that just stepping out and doing what you don't know the reason behind it, you don't know why, but just step out and just trust in God that he's gonna move, he's gonna do the things that he's gonna do. It's not for us, it's nothing that we do, it's all for him.
That's right, let's give the Lord just a big hand. Praise his holy name. Praise God. I love what she's playing. You know the answer. That's Jesus. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. God's much greater. In that name of Jesus, he is a healer. He's our provider. Strength. Lord, we just thanks. Praise God. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to take an intermission. I want to invite each and every one of you back this evening for service. Choir practice at 5. Really excited about it. Be in much prayer for those that aren't able to be with us this morning, those that are watching on the live feed. We again welcome you, and you'll put down your prayer request as you see that you just need prayer. We'll pray with you. In Jesus' name. All righty. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you just praise the Lord. All right, continue. Continue. Praise God.
Amen.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace, for that healing power that we feel this morning, dear Lord. We thank you for continuing that revival spirit within us, dear Lord. May we be receptive to your will and the direction that you would have us to go. Lord, we thank you for answering prayers. Lord, we know that you're healing. We know that you have healed. And, dear Lord, we're giving you all the honor and glory. And we just praise your holy name. And it's in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, that we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Praise God.